Yeah, Friday edition, episode 156. It's Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery and Underdog. I'm Alex Struff with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio, producer Groundhog, he's off today. He is not here today. However, producer Tiny Hands is here. That's Hunter Vaughn. He is back in the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison ahead of a huge football weekend here in the state of Wisconsin. Debatably the biggest game in Camp Randall history. Biggest opponent in Camp Randall history. Of course, when David Gilreath and that Badgers team over a decade ago knocked off number one Ohio State, that was a pretty big deal. It's the biggest non-conference game, though, by far in the history of Camp Randall, as Wisconsin plays host to number four Alabama tomorrow morning in Madison. We will essentially just say, hey, whether or not we think the Badgers can actually pull this off, I feel very one-sided on that conversation, but Tiny Hands and I will work our way through that. The Packers have their home opener coming up on Sunday as they take on Anthony Richardson, the former Badger, Jonathan Taylor, and the Indianapolis Colts noon on Sunday at Lambeau Field. We will dive into Malik Willis, likely making his first start for the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. Would it be better if Sean Clifford was the starter? We'll ponder that question as well as take a look at what the Packers' road ahead looks like if they lose Sunday or if they win on Sunday. And, of course, we'll wrap up the show with what we learned. I want to start with Hunter, actually, today, as the Badgers get ready to host number four Alabama. Hunter, all offseason, leading up to college football, you staked your claim in the fact that the Badgers would absolutely upset Alabama come week three.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the product the first 2 weeks. You rescinded that prediction. You said, no longer can I say Wisconsin is going to beat Alabama. We are less than 24 hours away from kickoff between number four Alabama and Bucky. Are you willing to say, hey, man, I'm ready to go back at it. I'm ready to bring my prediction back that I already rescinded, but I'm going to unrescind my prediction, or are you still saying, yeah, no chance?
Well, if you head over to either the ESPN Madison or ESPN Milwaukee social media platforms, we do a score prediction.
We do.
And I picked 24-21 Wisconsin.
So you are back on the bandwagon that you think Wisconsin can pull off the improbable upset.
I absolutely am, especially now after hearing Joe Thomas on Wilde and Tausch this morning. He joined the guys, and he was at the practices this week, and he loves the game plan that they are putting together to attack this Alabama defense. I think they're going to control the clock. I think the Badgers are going to do this. I just have this gut feeling that they can do it. Talk to me at halftime, maybe, and it might be a different story. But right now, I just believe in this running game. Tywee Walker is going to be back. Ches Malusi's healthy. I think Tyler Van Dyke can do enough to just keep the offense moving and get enough touchdowns to win this game. I'm feeling good.
I had a really good conversation this morning with our friend. He's the host on the Great Dane Huddle, was inducted into the UW Hall of Fame last week, Athletic Hall of Fame. That is the all-time leader in sacks, Tarek Salah. I talked with him this morning. Just a little catch up, but of course we dove into this game and what we saw out of the first 2 weeks with the Badgers. And I think what both of us left that conversation feeling was, if the Badgers look like what they are, which is offensive line university, if they look like OLU tomorrow, they've got a shot. But when you're playing essentially junior varsity competition, right? And no disrespect to South Dakota and Western Michigan, but when you're playing Wisconsin at Camp Randall, you're kind of viewed as JV competition. They didn't look like JV competition the first 2 weeks. The Badgers won each of those games by two touchdowns. They struggled to put points on the board, and they still allowed several scores from Western Michigan and South Dakota. So, yeah, it's a little irritating. It's a little concerning when you take a look at what the Badgers were able to accomplish. Wins, albeit wins, but I have a hard time walking into week three against number four Alabama after walking away with 14-point wins against Western Michigan and South Dakota and saying, yeah, that's a team that can rival Alabama. Now, granted, the Crimson Tide did not have their best showing a week ago. I watched that game against South Florida. South Florida was in it. It was 13-14 in the third quarter, at the end of the third quarter. And then Alabama did Alabama stuff. They owned the fourth quarter and end up winning that game 42-16. That's what you do to lesser competition when you are a Power 4 now, a Power 4 team playing a group of now six team. Alabama put their foot on the throat of South Florida in the fourth quarter, scored four touchdowns, and made that game, which was a game at the end of the third quarter, not a game come the end of regulation when they win 42-16. The Badgers really haven't shown that they have that instinct, the killer instinct, over the course of the first 2 weeks. So that concerns me. And you know, I teased, do they really have a shot? Hunter thinks they have a shot. I think they lose by at least three touchdowns.
See, the thing, though, with that South Alabama game is the fact that Wisconsin has more depth defensively than South Florida does. And South Alabama would. But South Florida. Like, that's where I feel like that fourth quarter can be different for Wisconsin. And I just...
Maybe?
I feel like those first 2 weeks, they were preseason games. They kept things very vanilla. Schematically, still not 100% sold on the defense and Mike Tressel, but I just feel like they were keeping things simple to keep things close to their chest, and then all of a sudden, this first quarter of this game is going to be TVD airing it out deep to CJ Williams taking the top off of this defense, because Bama's not going to be expecting it.
Look,
they're going to expect what they saw the first 2 weeks, ground and pound between the tackles, and then all of a sudden, Wisconsin's going to go deep, they're going to catch them off guard, and suddenly it's a 7-0 game, and Bama's going to be like, what the heck just happened to us? And then they're going to be playing catch up the rest of the day.
Do you believe in Tyler Van Dyke?
Yes.
Okay.
I have to. Braden Locke's not it. Well, like, right. I like the guy, but like, that's the problem. I have to believe in him. He is the guy.
You don't have to believe in him. He's going to be your starting quarterback. Doesn't mean you have to believe in him. But
yeah,
no,
but if he's the starter, I've got to believe in him. As much as I get frustrated with Dak Prescott as the Cowboys starting quarterback, he's the guy. I have to believe in him because Cooper Rush is not their starter. So until they have somebody else that I can believe in, that's it. That's who I've got.
I like that you draw a Dallas Cowboys comparison to the Wisconsin Badgers and their transfer quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke. I like it. Van Dyke, yeah, a little bit better last week against South Dakota, went 17-27, so he completed about 63% of his passes, just over 200 in the touchdown pass. You need more out of him. Two games against lesser opponents, he's got one touchdown pass.
They'll air it out. They're going to be fine.
They're going to need to. And how you contain Jalen Milroe is a whole nother conversation. And I don't know that the Badgers are ready for that task. So I think in the score prediction graphic that Hunter mentioned, I think I had the Badgers scoring the least amount of points and Alabama close to the most amount of points. I think I had 37-10 or something like that for Alabama, who is a 16.5 point favorite against Wisconsin. Tomorrow, ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day gets it going from Regent Street on ESPN Wisconsin beginning at 9 a.m. All right, let's dive into Sunday. Packers and Colts in the home opener for Green Bay as the Packers prepare to live without Jordan Love, who sprains his MCL in week one against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now Malik Willis likely to get the start for the Green Bay Packers. You know, I'm really, what's the right word? Surprised that Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, is using the language he has been all week when it comes to Jordan Love. He refuses to rule him out Sunday against the Colts, although he has not practiced and won't practice. He has said that he does not need to practice to be ready to play, and he will be given the opportunity to be ready on Sunday. I'm no doctor. I'm no professional. I would not expect to see Jordan Love on Sunday against the Colts. I would expect it will be the Malik Willis show for the Green Bay Packers on Sunday against the Colts, unless Matt LaFleur is telling the truth. It's going to be Malik Willis to start the game on Sunday. On Wednesday's show, episode 155, we discussed the idea of Malik Willis optimism. What can you be excited about when it comes to Malik Willis? Mobility is a fun factor he brings to the Packers quarterback room. A lot more agile and mobile than Jordan Love. Guy can run. He can tuck it and get after it. You saw that a lot during his playing days at Liberty. He made three starts in the 2022 season for the Tennessee Titans. It didn't go very well. He threw zero touchdowns, threw three interceptions, rushed for one touchdown, and fumbled the football three times, two of which he lost. The only, like, statistic I can really look at and go, hey, this is giving me optimism. Is in a week 9 game in 2022, he rushed the ball 8 times for 40 yards. That's an average of 5 yards per carry, including a long of 17. He also had a 14-yard rushing touchdown in a loss against the Houston Texans in week 16 of that season. Malik Willis doesn't have a lot of experience, and for the experience he has, it hasn't gone super well during his tenure in Tennessee. I understand the negativity and the pessimism when it comes to the Packers quarterback Malik Willis. I get it. It's hard to be super optimistic for a guy that just doesn't have a lot of experience and hasn't proven a lot in the few spots that he started. I get it. And now you give him 2.5 weeks since he's been traded from the Packers to the time where he will make his first start for the Packers. That is not a lot of time to grasp a playbook that took half of a season for a lot of these guys on offense to grasp last year. Remember, the first half of last season, we were running a playbook this thin. And then finally, that Pittsburgh game midseason, LaFleur said, yeah, we just got to open it up. We got to let these guys fall flat on their face, or hopefully it'll look good. And luckily, from that point forward, for the most part, it looked pretty good. I imagine you're going to have a slimmed down playbook again, because Malik Willis has to know everything. Offensive line assignments, the routes in which the receivers will run, blocking assignments. He's got to know all that. And 2.5 weeks isn't a whole hell of a lot of time to pick all that up. But as we said Wednesday, and I will say again today, the positive for Malik Willis is he has an offensive play caller who is one of the best in the league in Matt LaFleur. He has one of the best running backs in the league behind him in Josh Jacobs, and a pretty darn good offensive line for the most part to block for him. When it comes to the receivers, Jaden Reed at his breakout party last week leads the league after 1 week, one game, so we're not counting Thursday night's game between Miami and Buffalo in this. After one full week of the NFL season, Jaden Reed is the leading receiver in the NFL. Christian Watson is a deep threat. The tight ends are another year wiser in Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. And maybe there will be some flashes from guys like Romeo Dobbs and Dontavian Wicks. Much like Jordan Love elevated the guys around him last year, those guys need to elevate Malik Willis on Sunday. And you give yourself a fighting chance. Luckily, you're taking on, number one, not a very good defense to begin with, but also a beat-up defense in the Indianapolis Colts. A defense that you should be able to score some points against as long as Malik Willis looks competent. Now, the question I wonder is, how big of an if is that? If Malik Willis looks competent, will Malik Willis look competent and confident? That's what worries me when it comes to this game on Sunday. I thought Jason Wilde had a really interesting comment on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy weekday morning, 7-9 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee this morning about Malik Willis and Sean Clifford. We'll get to that momentarily after the break. But first, I want to tell you about my friends from Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Whether it's vodkas, whether it's gins, whether it's rums, or my favorite, it's football season. It's whiskey season. 27-time gold medal award winner, single malt whiskey. Yeah, 27 gold medals. How about that? That's a pretty good stat. Their bourbon, really good. It's affordable. It's delicious. Throw a couple ice cubes on there. Just drink it neat, whatever you like. Or the rye whiskey. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Cocktail recipes if you need them. Like I said, it's whiskey season for me. I don't need anything but the whiskey. But DoorCountyDistillery.com has a huge list of unique cocktail recipes. If you're mixing something fun up, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. So if you're sitting out on the patio watching some football, mix something fun up. This is DoorCountyDistillery.com, or scan the QR code if you're watching on the YouTube stream. And you can find the retailer nearest you, as well as that huge list of unique cocktail recipes. We step aside for 60 seconds. We come back. We react to what Jason Wilde had to say about the Packers quarterback situation. And how soon until you want to see Sean Clifford? What does Malik Willis have to do or not do Sunday in order for you to call for Sean Clifford? We'll talk about that in 60 seconds. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroh.
Where in the world is Door County Distillery today? It brings me to Sugar River Pizza, the legendary in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Let's go to the bar. Let's see what they've got. We're here in the beautiful bar at Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. My guy Kyle just mixed me up a cherry brandy old fashioned with the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery. It's delicious. I tell you it all the time. It's proven it right here. The best.
I'll tell you what, Kyle can make a cocktail.
All right, power ranking. Top three drinks to have from Door County Distillery. We're going 3-1. Number three, it's a split decision. but they're both on the rocks. Either the 27-time gold medal award winning single malt whiskey or my personal favorite, the bourbon. Right on the rocks. Nice Sunday night. End the weekend. I love it. That's number three. Number two, the Cherry Cosmo with that green bottle of gin. That thing tastes like summer. It's unbelievable. It's delicious. You got to try it. Check out the recipe. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Number one, it's in my left hand right now. With the cherry brandy, made with local Door County cherries, the cherry brandy old fashioned. That's my list, but there's no wrong answers. You got to find out for yourself. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Let me know what you think in the comments below. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. All right, I want you to take a listen to this, and you can watch it too, as we're going to play the video on the YouTube stream. This morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Mark Chmura, former Packers tight end, and Jason Wilde, who, if you're subscribed to the Mr. Relevant podcast feed, you see me do weekly Wilde with each and every Thursday. A little bit different of a show. I throw Jason in the passenger seat, and I just have him react to things I have on my mind, or we talk about the ideas and the concepts behind, you know, the ideology of Matt LaFleur and why he's talking the way he is, stuff like that. So if you want to check it out, we do weekly Wilde every Thursday. You can find it in the Mr. Irrelevant podcast feed, which means you get four episodes a week in the Mr. Irrelevant podcast feed. But anyway, Wilde was on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, and they discussed the idea of Sean Clifford, right? He's been in the system now a year and a half. Well, over a calendar year, we should say. Last season, this preseason, you know, started two of the preseason games, ultimately cut from the active roster, signed to the practice squad, elevated this week to be Malik Willis's backup. But this guy knows the system. He's been in Green Bay over a year. Why isn't he the starter this weekend? Jason Wilde discusses with Mark Chmura on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning.
Jason, who would you start? I mean, a guy that pretty much knows the entire playbook, can run motions, probably knows the progressions fairly well, or a guy who's going to have half the playbook in and you have no idea?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be honest. I would start Clifford.
I would too.
And I say that having been, to use Goody's term, underwhelmed by Clifford in camp this year, right? Like, it started rough with him not doing very well when he was put with the starters, which is what he would be having done on Sunday. But then he kind of found a rhythm, and then in the games he was kind of meh. He wasn't great, but he wasn't like, I didn't think he was god awful either. And it's the whole thing that you just said. He's got the whole playbook in his repertoire.
That Jason Wilde and Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with Mark Chmura earlier today, and I think it's a really interesting conversation to have because, look, I like the idea of Malik Willis. I like the idea of, you know, the mobility and some of the different skills that he brings to the table that Sean Clifford definitely doesn't bring. And Jordan Love just doesn't do as well as Malik Willis, which would mainly be the mobility thing. I trust Jordan Love to do just about everything else better. I would imagine if you asked Matt LaFleur who he would rather start, right? You're having a Door County Distillery bourbon with Matt LaFleur off the record, just hanging out on his nice deck, I assume he probably has up in Green Bay. Say, hey, Matt, thanks for the invite. Thanks for letting me chill out on the deck with you. Appreciate you having me. And he says, yeah, of course, you know, good to have a friend over. Say, Matt, I'm just curious, man. You trade for this kid out of Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. Is he ready? Is he ready to be your starter in a game that you really kind of need to win, make that record look a little bit better? It's much better to be 1-1 than 0-2. I think Matt would go, yeah, he's really talented. He's got some skills. He's a hard worker. I don't know if I'm ready to toss him out there this week, though. I think I'd probably rather have Sean out there. I think that's what he'd say. Because we know LaFleur likes Sean Clifford, obviously enough to keep him around. But I think Matt LaFleur probably would prefer Sean Clifford to be the backup to Jordan Love than Malik Willis. But that's more of a Goody move. Goody makes the roster cuts. Goody made the trade for Malik Willis. You don't trade for a guy and not have him serve as your backup. And unfortunately, the reality the Green Bay Packers now live in is your quarterback is out. You lost your quarterback in week one. You got to do something now. You don't trade for a guy not to start him. So I get that. But if it was completely up to Matt LaFleur, I think he would rather start Sean Clifford this week. And as the head coach, he has the decision and the power to make the decision of, if things go south quickly for Malik Willis, to change over to Sean Clifford.
And obviously, I don't hope that happens, right? I hope Malik Willis goes in there and absolutely cuts it up, man. Right? Like, I hope he walks out of there with four touchdown passes and the Packers are getting phone calls from Malik Willis. That's the ideal situation. That probably won't happen. But the idea that Sean Clifford knows this offense better, he was running with the ones in practices when Jordan Love was holding in, and then ultimately he played a majority of those preseason games. Like, I think that's probably the guy I would rather see out there. I don't know that I'd be any more confident than I am in Malik Willis, because I think Malik Willis's ceiling is certainly higher than Sean Clifford's. But to have a guy that knows the system the way Sean Clifford does, it's an intriguing option. So I wouldn't doubt, you know, depending on how long Love is out, that you see Sean Clifford at some point. I definitely don't doubt that at all. Hunter, go ahead.
Like, I feel like this is the issue with the whole siloed system that the Packers have come up with, where the head coach isn't going to make roster decisions and all of that stuff. And you're running into it where it's like Matt LaFleur knows this team. He knows that Sean Clifford, I don't have to change things for the O-line and the wide receivers and the running backs for them to be able to compete on Sunday. But my GM made this move. I've got to stick with it, and I just got to figure it out now. Like, I'm curious for you as a fan, at what point do you really get fed up with this siloed system, especially if Malik Willis goes out there and stinks it up, and halftime it's Sean Clifford, and then the offense at least looks semi-normal, where you're like, why are we going about things this way as a team? Because you just hurt your chances to win a game because of it.
So it's an interesting point by you, and it's more so in the philosophy of the Packers organization, right? Like, the general manager is going to have the final say on everything. And for a guy like Matt LaFleur, who I think has a lot of control and a lot of say of what goes into those decisions, this feels like one he didn't have a ton of say in, right? Like, I imagine he was in the loop that they were inquiring about Malik Willis or a different backup quarterback. Wildy and I talked about it yesterday on Weekly Wildy. I don't get why you trade for Malik Willis when Taylor Heinicke was available. Taylor Heinicke was traded for a sixth-round pick, one round higher, to the Los Angeles Chargers this offseason. Hunter, I know you're not a Packers fan, but if I said to you, hey, you can either have Taylor Heinicke, Malik Willis, or Sean Clifford start a Week 2 game, it's a no-brainer, right? You're picking Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, it's Taylor Heinicke every single time, and the value that they must have placed on that sixth round pick to not do that, or they missed the call that was made to them, and that's why they didn't make the move.
I don't think they realized he was available.
No, and that stinks then, because it's like, it is leaps and bounds. Taylor Heinicke is a much better quarterback than either of those two.
He was a starting quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
For multiple seasons. And that's where I get tied up is, I know you can't plan for injuries, especially the timing of injuries. The timing on this stinks for the Packers, whether you're Goody, whether you're LaFleur, or anybody else. The good part of the timing is this is the weakest part of your schedule the next couple of weeks. But for a team that really didn't like either of the quarterbacks, aside from Jordan Love, they had in camp to go out and trade for a guy right at the deadline, the cut-down deadline, right before the regular season, and then to have to play him in week two, that timing sucks. There's no way of splitting hairs on that.
I feel like the timing, even if this injury happens 3 weeks later, mm-hmm. the timing is way better. Even if the schedule is more difficult at that point, just because like Malik Willis really doesn't have a genuine chance. And I'm not even like saying that because I'm rooting against the Packers actively. Like, it's just, Baker Mayfield had to do it in like a 2-day stretch, and that just wasn't fair to him when he went to LA.
Yeah, but it worked. You got to win.
Thing. Yeah, but it was really, really difficult, and that was a disgusting win. Like, that's the thing. It's like, for him to get a win, this is going to have to look like Iowa football the last couple of years, where they're winning like a 10-7 type of game, unless Josh Jacobs just blows up and has an incredible game and scores three touchdowns. Like, that's what's going to have to happen here. And that's just not fair to Malik Willis, because then he's going to get held accountable for the results of this game, and he shouldn't.
Yeah, that's fair. And again, I bring up the idea of could this go so poorly to the point where we see Sean Clifford on Sunday? I don't know what would have to happen if it's, you know, first quarter, it's back-to-back-to-back three and outs where he's just not moving the ball. You just hope it's not a situation where you're down by three touchdowns in the fourth quarter and they say, all right, Sean, let's see what you got. Because I really do think this is a winnable game for the Packers. And in fact, spoiler alert, when it comes to Green Bay game day on Sunday, I will pick the Packers to win. I think they win this game. I don't know how, and I don't think it's going to be pretty, but it reminds me of the home opener a year ago. When I think it was week three. The Packers played the Saints, and it was ultimately, you know, 18 points all in the fourth quarter by the Packers, and the Saints missed the field goal at the end of regulation to lose by a point. Packers win 18-17. Like, it could be an ugly game like that, and I still think the Packers will find a way to win. That's where my head's at now. See if I change my thought in the next 48 hours. But I really do view this as a winnable game for Green Bay. And whether it's Malik Willis, whether it's Sean Clifford, whether it's Jaden Reed playing quarterback, I think the Packers have enough firepower offensively to win the game. It's ultimately going to come down to what the dynamic duo in the backfield for Indianapolis does with Anthony Richardson, who's got an arm as strong as anybody in the league and the ability to rush the football. And then, by the way, you have a guy who's known pretty well in the state of Wisconsin by the name of Jonathan Taylor, who might have a pretty big game on Sunday. So if you can alleviate your rush defense from what it was a week ago a little bit, I hold them to 17 points, you're going to win this game. And I think it's doable, frankly, for Green Bay. But maybe I'll be totally wrong and it'll be a complete disaster. And when we talk on Monday, we're looking at 0-2. And 0-2 starts to make me wonder, is this team going to make the playoffs? I know that's a crazy thing to say with 15 games remaining. But teams that start 0-2 only make the playoffs 3% of the time. 0-2 scares me. It really does. Because if Malik Willis can get a win in the first game he starts, not only do you feel a lot more confidence with his chances heading into a revenge game next week in Tennessee, which I will be at, you feel a lot better about the Packers' chances once Jordan Love returns, even if he drops the remainder of the games he starts. Right? I think we're probably looking at 2 to 3 games for Jordan Love. Like, I would imagine he's missing this week in Tennessee for sure. And then I think it's the Rams after that, or might go Vikings-Rams. Regardless, whatever their week 4 game is, Love could be back for that. I wouldn't doubt that, but I would guess he probably misses that one and then he's back for week 5. So if you're 1-3, I think that's even better than 0-2. Just because you get that win early and there's a little bit of confidence injected into that building and whatever happens week 3, I just feel better about. You know, 1-2 is a lot better than you know, winning week 2. I don't know why my philosophy works that way. I feel a lot better about a week 2 win than I do getting your first win later than that, I guess would be my thought process. Because you're 1-2 either way, but I just like getting the win earlier.
Yeah, you'd rather not have a team that's gone 0-3 through their first 3 like that. I get where you're going with that. And like looking ahead at their schedule too, even once tough. Jordan Love comes back, like unless I'm crazy here, the only games, the remainder of the schedule after this Vikings game at home, because like you said, they're at Tennessee and then the Vikings at home. The only games where I'm like, yep, the Packers are going to win that game with Jordan Love 100%. I'd put a rent payment on this game. At the Jags, the Dolphins at home, especially now with the Tua stuff happening.
It's not till Thanksgiving, but we will see how that shakes out with Tua, obviously.
Yeah, but still, I don't trust them to even be available. And then the Saints at home, and then at the Vikings. Like, those are the 4 games where I'm like, yep, they're winning those games. Jordan Love's healthy. I trust them to win it. Anything else, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen here. And if that's where your schedule is at, and you're down 1-2 or 0-3, yeah, making the playoffs suddenly becomes, instead of looking for a home game in the playoffs, you're fighting for that 7 seed, which worked out for the Packers last year. So who knows? Maybe they'll get the Cowboys again and get gifted a playoff win, because that's how my life works.
Seemingly, that is how your life works. But we'll see. Like, I really think this is, from top to bottom, given the talent on this team, you think they're talented enough to not only be a playoff team, but to compete for the NFC North. Depending on how long Jordan Love misses, obviously that might be called into jeopardy, and they might just be scratching and clawing for a wild card spot again like they did a year ago. But hopefully it's closer to the 5 seed than it is the 7 seed. The season is not over if they go 0-2. The season is not over if they go 0-3. It just puts a lot more pressure on what Jordan Love has to do and the margin of error he's given the remainder of the season. But your season was saved by Jordan Love going down with only an MCL sprain. You assume it's a low grade or he's only going to miss, you know, 2 or 3 games. So we will see. Oof. I think Packers win. I think Badgers lose. That's my weekend prediction. Hunter, where are you at? Think they both win?
I'm going Badgers win, Packers loss. Jonathan Taylor's so good.
He is so good.
And it's almost one of those with how good Anthony Richardson looks where they're going to be like, you know what? Let's just play ball control. Like, then every chance that the Packers offense has, there's even more pressure on them to move the ball and perform. And if that happens, that's going to be really tough. So this could be a low-scoring game where the Colts are like, we're just going to sit on the ball. Have fun when you finally get it back.
Yeah. I don't blame me at all for that thought, but we will see. Will we be reacting to a Packers 0-2 start Monday, or will I come in and say, hey, guys, Malik Willis, he's the answer? I don't think I'll be saying that regardless of if they win or lose, real frankly. But maybe. So the nice part is about a Sunday game, and I know nobody really gives a damn, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So last week, the Packers play on Friday. If you've, and you know, I just mentioned, this is episode 156 of Mr. Relevant. We've done this a few times. If you've been rolling with us since like episode 10, episode 20, episode 30, early last year and in the Packers season last year, you'll remember how roller coastery I am with my emotions when it comes specifically to the Green Bay Packers. Hunter remembers far too well.
Yeah.
You know, it's a ride. So when they play on Friday, I've got 3 nights of sleep to gather my thoughts before we're on the air Monday. 3 nights of sleep. Like, I've got a half week from a Friday to a Monday to really put my thoughts together and go, okay, this is how I feel. I was way too rational this week. So the nice thing about a Sunday game is I only get 1 night of sleep. I get less than 24 hours to gather myself. So if they start 0-2, I might be throwing out some bold proclamations that I probably don't actually believe on Monday. We'll see. But the roller coaster of emotions makes its return on Monday's edition of Mr. Irrelevant, which of course is brought to you in part by Underdog. The NFL season is finally here. My partner, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more exciting for you. It's exciting for me right now, man. I've been on a little bit of a roll on Underdog. You can join the millions of fans, which includes me, that play on Underdog with their Pick'em game. You can win money simply by making sports picks. All you got to do, you take a look at player projections. You pick higher or lower in your Pick'em entry, between 2 to 8 players. You can do as little as 2 players. You can go all the way up to 8 players, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money with the Pick'em game, all by just selecting higher or lower on projections on the Underdog app or at underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up on Underdog, use promo code GOODKARMA, all one word, GOODKARMA, Good Karma, all one word, on the Underdog app. You get up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. I have a gimme pick in one entry this weekend, which is going to win, by the way. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Tons of fun picks, including CD Lamb, which is in one of, it's my gimme pick. I paired it with a pick last night. It's going to win. CD Lamb over half a yard, higher than half a yard. That's all you need to do. It's a free pick. Gimme pick. Higher than a half a yard for CeeDee Lamb on the Underdog app and underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. So I was talking about, you know, it's going a little well for me on the Underdog app, Hunter. I submitted this last night. Tua under 2.5 touchdown passes. Lower than 2.5 touchdown passes, which he ultimately did. And then CeeDee Lamb higher than half a yard. So that's going to win.
Perfect.
There we go. So let's keep this rolling. We're looking at Indianapolis and Green Bay now. We're on underdogfantasy.com on the website, which you can see on the video stream. Malik Willis, higher than half of a touchdown pass. I think he's going to throw at least one touchdown. His first in his NFL career, by the way, it will be, which is a banana stat to throw out there. Malik Willis has never thrown a touchdown pass in a regular season NFL game.
Yeah, he can get that touch pass that counts to Jaden Reed or a screen to Josh Jacobs. Like, yeah, he's got that.
So I said the Packers will find a way to win if they can hold Jonathan Taylor in check. I don't know if they're going to do that. So I will take Jonathan Taylor at higher than 79.5 rushing yards. So Malik Willis higher than half of a touchdown pass and JT higher than 79.5 rushing yards. I just want to look around.
I was going to say, you just flew right past Jaden Reed. He's your guy. You've got to make a pick with him. Like,
well, higher than 1.5 receptions is easy money.
That's Dontavian.
Oh, that is Wicks. You're right.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's further up. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
There he is.
Three receptions, higher or lower. It's three flat, so even if we get a push, I'm good with that. Let's go higher there. I'll throw $20 on that. That'll pay me $84 on the Underdog app just to relook at my selections in my pick'em entry. Jonathan Taylor higher than 79.5 rushing yards. Malik Willis higher than a half touchdown pass. And Jaden Reed higher than three receptions, 20 to win 84 on Underdog. Put it in, baby. Confirm it. It's in. Underdogfantasy.com, the Underdog app. Looking around real quick, some of the other NFL slate, Hunter, a couple games caught my eye this weekend. A good Thursday night game last night up until the Tua injury. It was all Bills over the Dolphins with a big one last night, 31-10. James Cook, three touchdown performance for him last night in the Bills win. They start the season 2-0. Your Cowboys are playing the Saints, who put up over 40 points. And granted, they were playing the Carolina Panthers, who are probably going to be the worst team in the league again. But a 40-point performance nonetheless for the Saints in week one. They traveled to Dallas. You nervous about this one, or you feel like Dallas has in the bag? They're 6-point favorites.
I ain't scared. Nah. That's such an asterisk win. I'm going to be confident about this, and then they're going to somehow screw it up because this is what happens to me.
Yeah, that's
and, like,
fair.
I try not to be doomsday, but like it. This is a historically.
You don't try not to be doomsday. I do. You are doomsday.
I do try to not be doomsday. It just happens, and it's happened for 30 years.
Yeah, fair.
So I have enough data to understand that this is just going to keep happening to me. This is my life.
You have enough data.
Yeah. I got 30 years worth of it, of heartbreak.
30 sadness. Years worth of data.
It's awful, yeah. And I keep coming back.
Yeah, but that's fair. Here you are.
They're fine. I don't care what they do in the regular season, by the way. I've gotten to that point with the Cowboys.
It's all postseason?
Yeah. They need to win two playoff games. I don't care what level that is. If they're a wild card team, they've got to win the wild card and the divisional round. They're a divisional round team. I need to see them in the Super Bowl. Anything less than that, two playoff wins,
yeah.
It's a disappointment.
That's fair. Sneaky good game this week. And Hunter, you know how high I am on the Arizona Cardinals. They play host to the LA Rams this Sunday afternoon. So it's an NFC West matchup. Cardinals at home and are favored by a point. I think that's a really intriguing game Sunday afternoon between the Rams and the Cardinals.
What time is that game?
It's a 3:05 kick. So it'll be on right when the Packers and your Cowboys in the noon slate come to
an end. Stupid Packers have to play at the same time as the Cowboys, so I can't watch them in this market. I'm not paying for Sunday ticket. Do you know how rare this happens to me? I literally don't pay for Sunday ticket because the Cowboys are such a big brand that I can normally just watch them.
It's fair.
I don't have to worry about it. And then the one week that they play a noon game, like all year, Packers, got to be the same time. Can't have that. Can't give Hunter any happiness. Ugh.
Oh man, Hunter's at an all-time day today. Yeah, he's had a long day. He produced Wildy and Tausch prior to this. He's got some prep mania stuff tonight. Doing a little high school football.
Mania. Huge game.
Madison Memorial, Verona.
Yeah, Vel Phillips Memorial. Now they changed the name, but yeah, number 9 against number 5. Got two of the biggest big play threats in the state. Trey Poteet going to Tennessee from Verona, and then Marion Moore, back-to-back kickoff touchdowns so far this season. It's going to be electric. It's going to be like a Big 12 football game. We're going to have 80 points scored. I love it. I'm going to be hoarse at the end of it because all the big plays.
Hunter and the Dean Dennis Semra have you on Zimbrakonda's Prep Mania.
Too.
It's Dennis's birthday today?
Yeah. Dude's working on his birthday.
Well, I got to call him after this. Well, thank you for letting me know, because I frankly did not know that, so I will be calling him immediately when we end the show. I appreciate the heads up. Other marquee games this weekend. Bengals at Chiefs is the Sunday afternoon national game, so you'll catch that on CBS nationally. Bengals-Chiefs. Watch out for that one. The Bengals ruining a lot of survivor polls last week as they lose to the New England Patriots. Sunday night, has the chance to be a complete dud, but in the best way possible, as the Bears travel to Houston to take on the Texans. I hope C.J. Stroud and that Texans offense puts up 800 points.
I don't get this. You should want, it's again, we've had this conversation, but you should want Caleb Williams to be good. Make this fun for yourself. I understand you hate the Bears.
Slow down. The issue here is every team besides the Packers in the NFC North won last week. I want them all to lose this week so we can even up the standings a little bit. Although I don't think that's going to happen, given the fact that the Lions-Buccaneers is actually good. I'm a Buccaneers believer, as you know. And then who the Vikings Baker's are going to lose? Vikings play somebody decent, don't they? Yeah, they play the Niners in Minnesota. So I think there's a good opportunity for the NFC North to come back down to earth a little bit. All three teams lose. Packers get a win. We're all 1-1. That's my hope.
But the thing is, if the Bears are really scary and you have to chase the Bears finally,
right, that's irritating. That's
gonna be, yeah, but for the rest of the football world, this is going to be incredible. And that's what I want. I'm a man of the people, Strofe. I want everyone in the NFL world to have fun watching the Packers have to chase the Bears for a couple of weeks. That would be awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would.
No, it wouldn't.
It absolutely would.
So you say you should want Caleb Williams. I don't know that I agree with that is the issue. I don't want Caleb Williams to be good.
Dude, like,
I want the rivalry to be reinjected with a little bit of fury.
Yeah, and
but I don't want
what
to lose to
when
them.
The quarterback of the Bears is finally actually serviceable.
But the issue, Hunter, is he's not. You saw him play week one. He was horrible.
Yes, but I'm still rooting for him to be good. I want whoever the quarterback is for the Bears, I want him to be good for that rivalry. Like, I'm a Cowboys fan. As much as it pains me to say this, the Eagles having Jalen Hurts is great for that rivalry and makes it so fun. And I love it. I love hating the Eagles. I hate that Daniel Jones sucks. Like, I wish he was actually good so it would be good all around. I want Jaden Daniels to be good so I can just despise the Commanders as much as I hate the Eagles. That's what makes football fun. Hating your rival and them being as good as you is the best part about football. You should want that for the Bears.
Nope. I don't want it for the Bears. I do not want it for the Bears. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. Time to wrap up the show as we always do with what we learned. Hunter, go ahead.
I learned that I'm probably going to be getting another tattoo.
Okay. How did you learn this? Or did you decide this?
Well, I talked about it on Wildy and Tausch earlier this morning, but the tattoo shop that I've been going to recently, it's called Flash Tattoos. So the artists just put on a sheet of paper, like, 6 designs, and you're just like, I want that one, and then that's the one you get, and you tell them where you want it, and then they put it on. Like, you don't like come up with some creative design. So all of the artists at the shop are doing this special event on Saturday, and you just walk in. So I'm gonna go and do that, and I'm probably gonna come back with some random tattoo on Monday.
All right, just make sure that area is exposed so we can grade your tattoo. Obviously, yeah. Joshy has plenty of tattoos, including one of Steve the Homer True on his body.
Yeah, that's so wild. I still can't believe that. I love Homer. Like, I'm a Marquette fan. I love listening to Homer, but like, I don't know if I get his face tattooed on me.
Yeah, that's fair, and I can't argue with you on that. What I learned is we need to teach celebrities how to use social media. Man, Shannon Sharp.
Oof.
Yeah, tough break for him earlier in the week as Sharp goes live on Instagram Live while he is, let's just say, in a very intimate situation with a woman. You couldn't see anybody on the live, but you could hear the audio, and it went on far too long. So Shannon Sharp then said he was hacked and then eventually fessed up to accidentally going live while he was in the middle of this entanglement, if you will. And we just... I learned we need to teach celebrities how to use social media because things like that can't happen on accident.
Did you watch it?
No.
Okay. I was just like, you were.
Did you?
No. I saw like a screenshot of what it was and then like I read an article about it, but no, I'm no.
No, I've read plenty of it. I did watch his reaction with Ocho Cinco about it.
It was hilarious.
Which is, yeah, I believe he called himself what? Like a fit male or something?
Yeah.
Insane.
You
stuff.
Just got to own it at that point. Like, don't try and run from it. Like, just be like,
I don't think he did.
I'm proud of him for doing that. Because you just got to just be like, yeah, man, I'm an idiot. Yeah, this happened. It is what it is.
The direct quote was, quote, I called my agent. I called the agency. I called the ESPN and I thought, I just got to tell him the truth. My phone wasn't hacked. It wasn't a prank. It was me being a healthy, active male.
Love it. Good for him.
Shout out to all you healthy, active males. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Friday. We're back with you Monday beginning at 12:30, reacting to all things Packers, Colts, Badgers, Bama. Will there be an upset in Madison, Wisconsin tomorrow? We will all find out together. And Packers coming up on Sunday. I'm with you for Green Bay Game Day beginning at 9 a.m. on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, ESPN Beaver Dam, 620 WTMJ on Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. I'll be joined by Gabe Neitzel, Super Bowl champion Jarrett Bush, Rob Domofsky, Jason Wilde will all stop by. We'll also have a few guest appearances that I'm looking forward to on Sunday on Green Bay Game Day. You're not going to want to miss it. We're with you 3 hours prior to kickoff, leading you all the way up to kickoff, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ this Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. live just outside of Lambeau Field at the Tundra Trio. Looking forward to getting back up to Green Bay. Looking forward to partying with you leading up to kickoff of that one. The Malik Willis Show at Lambeau Field on Sunday will be great. We'll talk to you on Monday. It's Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery and Underdog. I'm Alex Stroh. Peace.